TJ had asked me to fill in for him if he was not able to be here, and so he texted me a little while ago and said he was there was no way that he was going to be able to make it, and so started putting something together. And I was thinking about several times through the years I've heard quotes from different individuals in history about the Bible. I've always found that interesting. And some of these, you'll certainly recognize the names. Let me just read to you a few of them. Sir Isaac Newton, he said, "The most beautiful system of the sun, the planets, the comets could only proceed from the counsel and dominion of an intelligent and powerful being. This being governs all things, not as the soul of the world, but as the Lord over all." Then he says, "I find more sure marks of authenticity in the Bible than any profane history whatsoever." Ralph Waldo Emerson, "Jesus is the most perfect of all men that has ever yet appeared." Charles Dickens, there's a couple. Both Charles Dickens and Shakespeare wrote some interesting things actually in their wills. Charles Dickens says this in his will: "I commit my soul to the mercy of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and exhort my dear children humbly to try to guide themselves by the teachings of the New Testament." Shakespeare said this in his will: "I commend my soul into the hands of God, my Creator, hoping and assuredly believing through the only merits of Jesus, my Savior, to be made partaker of life everlasting." It's interesting. Even those who may not have been New Testament Christians certainly had a great belief in God and a great belief in His Word as the authentic Word of God. George Washington, he says this: "It is impossible for a man to rightly govern the world without God and without the Bible. He is worse than an infidel who does not read his Bible and acknowledge his obligation to God." John Adams, "The Bible is the best book in the world." Benjamin Franklin, "Young man, my advice to you is that you cultivate an acquaintance with and firm belief in the Holy Scriptures, for this is your certain interest. I think Christ's system of morals and religion, as he left them with us, is the best the world ever saw and is likely to see." Thomas Jefferson, "I have always said and always will say that the studious perusal of the sacred volume will make better citizens, better fathers, better husbands. The Bible makes the best people in the world." And then Abraham Lincoln, "I am profitably engaged in the reading of the Bible. Take all of this book upon reason that you can, and the balance by faith, and you will live and die a better man." Daniel Webster, From the time that at my mother's feet or on my father's knee, I first learned to lisp the verses from the sacred writings. They have been my daily study and vigilant contemplation." Douglas MacArthur, "Believe me, sir, never a night goes by that I've been so tired that I have not read the Word of God before I go to bed." I found these quotes, and there are numerous others, and I just thought it speaks to how those, while we look around and we see skeptics, we hear skepticism of the Bible. Is it the Word of God? We hear critics all the time making claims. It can't be. It's just a book of fables. It's a book of history. It's a book of antiquity. It has no relevance today. It needs to be updated with the times, and on and on and on. These individuals will make these claims, but we can read even what were typically thought of as good men. There was a reason that they were typically thought of as good men, because they put the Bible first and God first in their lives, at least as what was indicated by these quotes that I've read in our hearing. Well, what does Jesus say about His Word? John 17:17, in His prayer to the Father, Jesus says, "Thy Word is truth." when he's talking about that they should be sanctified. How were they going to be sanctified? It was going to be through truth, through the word. And he says, thy word is truth. It is truth. Every word of God is pure, the wise man Solomon would say. Proverbs 30 and verse 5. Jesus says, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And in that context, he's talking about eternal life. They are that which brings eternal life. John 6 and verse 63. The apostle Paul would make this statement, if you want to read with me. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy 3. Excuse me. 2 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3 is not going to work. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Verses you know, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Here's four thoughts. He says the book, the Bible, Holy Scripture, it is good, it is profitable, it is something that is good for us. For what? For doctrine. What does doctrine do? It tells us what is right. It sets the standard. Here's what is right. It also, though, gives reproof. It tells me when I'm wrong. And it also gives correction. It tells me how to correct those wrong steps that I've taken. And then it tells me how to continue unto righteousness. It gives me the instructions to be right with God, and to live a faithful life before God. The Apostle Paul would say to the Ephesian elders when he called for them at Miletus in Acts chapter 20, in verse 32, he says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word is powerful. Now, we don't necessarily need the quotes of those in antiquity to remind us of that, but it is interesting to see how when our world full of skeptics continues to say the Bible is not real, it's just made up stories and so forth, you can see how others truly responded to it. But let the Bible stand for itself. It is its own evidence, and it needs to have its day in court. And so that's why we're here. We proclaim it. We speak it. We speak the truth, and we do so in love, Ephesians 4 and verse 15. But nonetheless, we speak, as Peter says, the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. So as we think about these things in the Bible and what it has the power to do, it has the power to change our lives. Has your life been changed by the power of the Word of God? Have you let it do so? Have you responded properly to it by believing in Jesus as the very Son of God and repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ, being baptized to wash away your sins? And are you continuing to live a faithful life in Christ? If we can help you, and if we can encourage you in some way this evening, come to the front while we stand and while we sing.